the great Unitarian poet E.E. Cummings wrote. No, seriously. He was a great poet and he was a Unitarian. I thank you, God. Okay, I understand with that opening line, some of you might doubt it, but I thank you, God, for this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue dream of sky, and for everything which is natural and infinite and yes. I who have died am alive again. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and the great, gay, happening, illimitable earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being doubt? How could doubt unimaginable you? And now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. This is a day about yes. This is a day about the sunrise, about Easter and the East and the sun rising in the East and the world turning and cycling around the eastern rising sun and warming again and filling again with life after a winter. This is a riot of color of flowers. This is a great shout of hallelujah for the promise that was made in the heart of winter at Christmas has been kept and life returns. It returns to the earth. It returns to our lives and our hearts. Maybe not today. Maybe we are suffering losses. Maybe we are feeling down. But the message of Easter is indeed about the possibility of rebirth in ourselves and in our lives and all that we care about. It is the big, fecund celebration of life and fertility. It is eggs with life popping improbably out of hard shells. It is Easter bunnies, and yes, they are Easter bunnies, even if malls are going to rename them spring bunnies. The secularization has gone absolutely mad. They're Easter bunnies, and they celebrate. Oh, you know what they celebrate. They celebrate all that is earthy and fleshy and fecund and fun and the miracle of life and of new life, figuratively and metaphorically. But as the other Unitarian poet laureate, Rick Masten, said, without the dark there is no light. And implied and implicit, no, explicit in Easter is Good Friday, is death. Is death that puts that stopping point to our joy or that inspiration to feel that joy today and not to miss this sunrise today, this day of beauty today. Good Friday is an immensely difficult story. The idea of human sacrifice is a terrible one. It goes back way beyond the story of Abraham taking his son Isaac to the mountain and attempting a sacrifice, or Ibrahim taking his son Ishmael to the mountain and attempting his sacrifice. And goes all the way to the story of Jesus on the cross. It's immensely powerful and troubling. But there's some great wisdom in the image, in the Christian image that I want to talk about for a few moments, of God suffering. Because one of the great questions, the theological issues that confront normally orthodoxly religious people is, what does great unknowable God know about us and our suffering and our fears and our failures and our despair. And the answer to that is Good Friday. The answer to that, within the Christian context of metaphor, is that God understands your problems because God came down here and was cheered and was booed and was accepted and was rejected and felt pain, physical and spiritual pain, to cry out when the nails went in, and spiritual pain to cry out, "Why hast thou abandoned me?" And so when the Orthodox go to God, it is not to that far removed otherness out there that can know nothing of us, but it is to a much more personal interface, something that powerfully and poetically connects the person who prays with the object being prayed to. It obviously is immensely powerful because it has survived as a nourishing idea for close to 2,000 years. That death, that lonely death, that sense of rejection is followed by a sunrise. It's followed by the whole question, which bedevils, you should pardon the image, Unitarians, liberal religious, non-Christians, and that is, what are we going to do at Easter with this whole resurrection story? Are we just going to do the flowers? Is Unitarianism really just at Easter a talk on botany? And I want to talk a little bit about resurrection. It doesn't automatically mean in all ages what people take it to mean literally. In Judaism, there is the idea of physical resurrection from Isaiah. Some of you will remember the Odets play, well, three of you, of awake and sing. Raise your hand, you three. Come on, Barbara. Okay, I got four. Of Awake and Sing by Clifford Odets. My dust will awake and sing with your dust. That's why in Orthodox Judaism, if somebody suffers an amputation, that leg is buried. So on that great getting up morning, they are going to have their leg with them. In Judaism, it talks about physical resurrection and spiritual resurrection. The same is true in Christianity. There is the idea of physical resurrection, and there is the idea of spiritual resurrection. Today you have a body, and in the Christian gospel it says, and you will eventually have a perfect body in Christ, because the early philosophers really understood that there were some problems with physical resurrection. Because if you're Methuselah and you make it to 900 years, it may not really be that much of a blessing. Or if in Islam, Islam does present another problem, because if you have a spiritual body, what are you going to do with 72 virgins? So that actually just might be torture and hell. You have resurrection, you have a spiritual body, and you have 72 virgins over there, and you're going, oh my God. Anyway, the point is that resurrection has always meant, for 4,000 years, it has been seen on many different levels and understood on many different levels, because we need to respond to the metaphors that we can hear and feel and make some sense to us emotionally. And the truths of these metaphors are not based on scientific questions, but on poetic impact. The ideas that are involved in Easter are ideas not simply about denial of death, which most of us have a decent sense of denial, which allows us to get up in the morning, to turn on an electric switch, to use electrical appliances in our bathrooms where they're running water, to get into our cars that were built on Monday and Friday by people who were considerably hungover, and to get on the road with people who at any given time about 8 to 12% are legally drunk, and to drive wherever we're going. It's a dangerous, capricious world out there, and we do some healthy denial of our finitude, and that's what helps us get through the day. We also don't like to say goodbye. And this is not at all demeaning. I use it simply as an example. Elvis is still alive and at Burger King, although by now you would have thought that the Burger King would have done him in. We do not suffer the losses of people important to us easily. We see them in Dayton at the Burger King. We hear reports of them in the tabloids and in tabloid televisions. For our personal losses, we hear the voices in our dreams. We see the faces in our mirrors as we age and fuse with them. We carry them around in our hearts. They do not disappear from our lives. Last week I told you about how when I went to the cemetery to visit my mother's grave and to uncover the gravestone, and what a jarring sense it was to see my mother and father together. And of course what I meant was to see their stones together. Because here is the good news for non-Christians, for non-Orthodox, for Christian liberals, and that is the essential message of Easter is true. The tomb is empty. When you go to a cemetery, that's not where the people whom we have loved live. They are not in the ground. They are not in a box. They are not in an urn. They are in our lives. They're in our hearts. They're in our actions. They're, in terms of family, they're sometimes we hear them in the tone of our voice when we're talking to our own children and grandchildren. They are living presence within our lives. The tomb is empty. Life is in here. I was reading Bill Bryson's book on a short history of nearly everything, and I came across a paragraph about atoms that I thought would be kind of a nice reading for Easter. Atoms, in short, are very abundant. They are also fantastically durable. Because they are so long-lived, atoms really get around. Every atom you possess has almost certainly passed through several stars, been parts of millions of organisms on its way to becoming you. We are each so atomically numerous and vigorously recycled at death that a significant number of our atoms, up to a billion for each of us, probably belonged to Shakespeare. A billion more came from Buddha and Genghis Khan and Beethoven and any other historical figure you care to name. The personages have to be historical, apparently, as it takes atoms some decades to become thoroughly redistributed, however much you may wish you are not yet one with Elvis. So we are all reincarnations, though short-lived ones. When we die, our atoms will disassemble and move off to find new uses elsewhere as part of a leaf or other human being or drop of dew. Atoms go on practically forever. Nobody actually knows how long an atom can survive, but according to Martin Rees, it is probably 10 to the 35th power years, a number so vast that even I am happy to express it in notation. We are far more than our dates of entry and departure, than our birthdays, than our resumes. We carry the influences of all who have touched us, physically, spiritually. We pass on those influences in our lives consciously and unconsciously. We are the bearers of eternity. We, during this time, this relay race where we run our segment, carry a baton and we pass it on in everything that we do. The Holy Week reminds us that sometimes as we run our race, we trip, we fall, we are bruised, we are hurt, we feel despair. And Easter provides a new day, promises a new day, that we can get up, we can dust ourselves off, and we can continue our trip, maybe limping, maybe fearful, maybe hesitatingly at first. But as we walk into the approaching sunrise, mindful of the sunset that ultimately will come, we can begin to stand and walk with some sense of assurance that the path that we have left, the path that we have created, has made a difference and has advanced the cause of humanity and of this world, because our atoms assembled here in each other for a few moments and shared with each other for a few moments. And making those moments count is the booster shot that that sunrise of Easter gives to us. That shot that says, spring will come. Life is born and reborn anew in each day. That's the promise.